This is the Living in Mid-Bloom podcast, lighthearted and heartfelt conversations about what it looks like to live, heal, and blossom in middle age. I'm your host, April Pruitt. Let's get our bloom on.
This is a mid-bloom day in history.
In 1965, I was 7. My dad was an officer in the Army, and we were living on Fort Leonard Wood Army Base in South Central Missouri. Every weekday, my mom, my sister, and I would pick him up from work. On this particular day, he's late, so we're just sitting in the car waiting for him. I get impatient, so I flip from the back seat to the front seat, then flip to the back seat and climb in the back window. My mom is telling me to settle down. Then my dad comes out. My mom slides over to the passenger side. He gets in the car, and I hang back over the front seat and say, annoyed, "What took you so long, Aunt Jemima?" He looks at me and bursts out laughing. Then everyone laughs, except me. I didn't want to miss my favorite TV show, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Every time the show would come on, my dad would yell, "Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea is on."
This was a mid-bloom day in history.
Well, hello, my mid-bloomers and friends. Thank you for joining me today. I have a guest today, and she is a friend and a neighbor for years. Her name is Victoria Minette. Hi, Victoria.
Hello, April.
Well, I'm just going to say V, because that's what I call you.
Yeah.
So we've been neighbors for how long?
15 years.
I honestly, I can't believe it's been that long. But the past few years, and Victoria is working in, I guess, the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're retired now. And you were a case manager. But before I get into that, in the past few years, like I said, I've just gone through a lot and dealing with elderly family members, dealing with an uncle, my stepdad, and my mom. And between hospitals and nursing homes, I was really struggling figuring out how to navigate all that. And I was outside one day, and I think she probably just saw me crying, or we were talking, and because I was just overwhelmed, and she helped me tremendously. And I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. You were really, really instrumental in just helping me calm down, because there were so many situations that came up. And I want to make sure that I get that in. But the one thing I'd always been interested in is why you got into this field. So let's just start with what piqued your interest about this field, because it's demanding. It's, you know, you're dealing with a lot of emotions. You're dealing with a lot of different facets of people's lives.
Okay, well, one of the first things I wanted to, when you brought up the fact that you were outside and maybe you were emotional, and I caught on to that, obviously, what really helped is that you were even open to having somebody help you. And oftentimes, people feel like they have to go through things all by themselves, and it's a weakness to have somebody help, especially when you're feeling vulnerable and not knowing what to do. So actually what really happened was I just kind of listened to you and then heard what was going on. I'll back up a minute and say, not only do I just work in the health field, but I'm a social worker. So
case managers
can be nurses or they can be social workers. Those are the two typical backgrounds people have to be case managers. And at that time, I was working in hospice as the social worker for the hospice team.
And I know you said that was something that you really wanted to do. And I sit here and I think that's an amazing, amazing thing to want to do. Because I immediately think of just the involvement with families would be so stressful. And I guess maybe that's me. I would find that type of thing very stressful, but you have a way about you to not insert yourself in the drama, just listening and determining what's needed.
Well, you know, I have many people will say to me, I don't know how you do that. And so it's made me think, and I can tell you a defining moment for me when I knew I wanted to go into hospice. I mean, I've been a social worker since I graduated from college. I got my degree in social work, so that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But in regards to hospice, I do have a couple of defining moments that helped me to know that that's the area that I wanted to work in. And one of them happened many years ago before I really even knew very much about hospice.
Yeah.
And I was with my mother and my sister, and we had traveled to visit my aunt, who lived a few hours away, and she was in a nursing home. And we knew that she was getting close to her end of life. And I was probably in my maybe early 30s. And again, I did have a social work degree, but I was not in hospice by any means. And so we went to visit my aunt, and we got to her room. And she, by the way, had she either had pancreatic cancer or liver cancer. And she was in her room, and my mom and my sister and I got to the room, and we started to walk in, and my aunt looked horrible. I'm quite sure it was liver cancer, because she was yellow. She was a yellow person and laying there because of that's what happens when your liver starts to fail. So we stood on the threshold of the room, and my sister and mother, I don't know that they would even remember this. They kind of stopped and couldn't go into the room.
Scared them.
It scared them. And I just knew that somebody had to take the lead, and I didn't want my aunt to see us be afraid. That was so important to me.
And that is so empathetic. I mean, I'm sitting here just thinking about those times when I've seen, you know, the illness, and and it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you're afraid, but here you are already thinking about her. How old was she, by the way?
She was probably in her late 80s.
Okay.
So she'd had a long, good life. Not that it's ever easy to see somebody pass, but I felt like she was ready. So, but that was, you bring up a good point that that happens to a lot of people. It's very scary to see somebody sick, and whether you think you're prepared or not, especially if they are showing physical attributes of illness. It can stop you in your tracks, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they stood there, my mother and sister, and I just took the lead and walked into the room, and they followed. And I walked up to the side of the bed, and my aunt was, her name was Aunt Justin. And she was awake. And so I walked up to the bed, and I just, you know, said, "Hi, Aunt Justin. It's Sheila and Dawn, and we're here to see you." And she couldn't really talk, but she was making eye contact. And my sister and mom were like frozen. So they just stood there, and I think we pulled up chairs, and I pulled up close to my aunt, and I just took her hand. And, you know, I wanted her again to feel like, and I have to make a comment here that I come from a very non-demonstrative family.
Okay.
So even to take her hand and, you know, it's even not just my mom and sisters and I, but even my aunts and things like that.
Right.
So anyway, I took her hand, and I just started talking to her about her life story and what her, the memories, because I used to go and visit, and she and her, my uncle, they never had any children.
Okay.
So we would come and they would do special things for us. And I just started talking to her about all of the things I remembered coming to her house, and it just flowed wow. out of me.
Were you thinking of any of that before you visited?
Oh, no.
So it just...
I just knew...
It's natural.
...that like. I wanted to make her comfortable. And this is good... I don't know if it's advice or whatever, but, you know, if somebody is ill or they're certainly at their end of their life, they love... People love talking about their past.
Yeah.
And what was meaningful. And I wanted her to know the impact that she had on me and the things that I remembered. And she, you know, sat there and she, or laid there, I should say. And she really didn't respond, but she did nod. And so I knew she was hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just continued on in that vein and just spoke to her. And I would ask my mom and sister to, you know, some questions so that they could be involved. And
mm-hmm.
And so that's how we continued the visit. And then, you know, wow. I said some personal things to her to let her know how much she was loved. And I don't remember how we ended the visit, but it made such an impact on me.
Wow.
That I didn't know what kind of work that would be, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make people feel comfortable at their end of life. Well, after that, and I don't remember how long after that, I did. My oldest brother ended up getting ill, and he was on hospice, and he lived up in Michigan, and Michigan was very advanced in their hospice programs because Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
She opened hospice houses up really? In Michigan, and they were the first ones, one of the first to do it in the United
no
States.
Idea.
I mean, I'm
her.
Not sure exactly of the history of
sure,
it,
sure.
but he, it was the type of place that you could, you didn't go live there. You could go there and do, get support groups and things like that. So my brother was part of that. And that's how I found out about hospice. So
okay.
from that, I knew I had to go back and get an advanced degree because I had a social work degree, but you have to have your master's in social work. So that's,
wow,
that was a defining moment, those two defining moments. And I knew to follow my path that way.
You know, that's just so interesting. You know, the realizing the impact, even though your aunt wasn't very responsive, you knew that she was, that you had reached her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's just a special gift because I've been in those situations where I've frozen. I mean, and now this is, I was a kid, but, I worked as a volunteer at a hospital. What did they call? I can't even think of the
candy
name.
Candy striper?
Yes. I was a candy striper.
Yeah.
And, so
wow.
I know. Yes, that was about 100 years ago. And I remember, you know, we would, you know, deliver mail or gifts, or I remember I was like, this is scary. I was like charting blood pressure on the, you know, rewriting it on.
Yeah.
Apparently I did a good job. I did that a lot.
Nice.
But I went into a girl's room, and apparently she had been burned like over 80% of her body. She was covered in bandages. And
oh my goodness.
I just think about that because when I went in, I'm just like in shock.
Yeah.
And I thought, she's looking at me. She sees how I'm looking at her. I just felt that, you
yes,
know.
Of course.
You know, I left whatever. And, you know, I never went back into her room again. I don't know if it's because I just made that decision or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about that because I can see how hard it must be when she's a child going through that, and then you have to see through people's eyes,
right?
Their fear.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
That's why I say, you know, that's something special.
Well, and I think everybody can relate to that. For example, I mean, when that happened with my aunt. Especially because I was the young, I mean, here I was with my mother and my older sister.
Right.
And I wasn't used to taking the reins. at all.
Okay.
And so I remember thinking, but I, you know, that should I do this? I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. But I also remember thinking, this is not about you. This is bigger than you. This is about helping somebody at probably one of the most important parts of their life.
Yeah.
And so get over it. You know,
that's just, you know, that you could go through that process mm-hmm. and make that determination. And you're taking a role that you've never taken before.
Right. Yeah. So, and so when people say, I can't believe you do hospice, I know where they're coming from when they say that. And I obviously that type of work isn't for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. It's just for me, it was, I couldn't imagine not doing it. So to do it made a lot more sense than to not do it. If that is clear at all.
That truly is like a passion that spoke to you like that.
Right.
You know, and I think about my mom going through hospice probably the last couple of weeks of her life.
Right.
And, you know, working with the nurses and, you know, the hospice care that came to the nursing home.
Right.
And, you know, just calm and, you know, and, you know, I kind of like saw or kind of understood that it's like you have the honor of helping someone transition.
Right. Yes, it is an honor. So in going back to a little bit, when you and I were out, we were in a driveway talking.
Yeah.
And you luckily started opening up about some issues of concern.
And when you were saying that people don't open up, I get that. But it to me, I've always been the kind of person, I always liked having a village. You know, it wasn't like I have to do everything because I don't know everything.
Right.
That's the way I see it. It's like, it's not because I don't want to do it on my own. I'm fine. But it's like, if I don't know what I'm doing and then you get stressed, but then it's like when somebody who has knowledge who steps in, it's like, okay. Well, of course I don't know how to do this.
Well, and I remember telling you that it's not easy to navigate the medical field. And so I kind of remember educating you on that there's going to be things that overwhelm you, and there's going to be things that you're going to be asked a lot of questions and have to make a lot of decisions. And so I remember asking you, do you want me to help you walk through this? Because again, not just assuming that I could step in there and take over by any means,
right.
But you were very open and said, yes, please help me. And so we were able to go step by step.
I mean, just the, you know, who to talk to at the hospital, what questions to ask, whether it's the level of oxygen, is he able to eat? Do they need to strengthen, you know, what's going on with, mm-hmm. you know, just things I think now, okay, that makes sense. But you just, you know, you don't think about all those different issues or that there will be a social worker that will be assigned. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, mm-hmm. you know, so going through it the first time, then I could see, you know, what would be happening, you know, down the road. Mm-hmm. So that was huge. You know, that was huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that it was, you know, so many family members just kind of, you know, going through that, that transition. So. Now, did you retire? I'm trying to remember. Okay.
Yeah, I retired. My last social work position was in hospice, and I had done that for about 6.5 years. And then along comes COVID. And so,
good old COVID.
Yeah, COVID started, and I was still working in hospice. And I was getting close to retirement. And then without going into all the details, we all know how, especially in the medical field, it became very difficult dealing with all of the protocols and what was going on. And since I was close And there was a part of me that felt a little bit like, am I giving up at a time when I shouldn't? But I worked through all of that. Like I've helped so many people and patients and families do when you're trying to make a decision. I just went through the same process for myself and decided that it was in my best interest. And at the end of my career, I just ended up retiring about 2 months after the whole onslaught of COVID. And then since then, like with you and some other people, I've done some contract work helping people navigate the medical field or agencies and hospital work and all of that. So I've done a little bit of that.
Yeah. And let me just say generally for, you know, anybody who's listening, and I'm thinking about also my current podcast coach, is the importance of recognizing your expertise. Because when you were helping me, you know, I valued that. And, you know, I was like, you know, I had to force you to like take a check, you know, take this $60. You know? And then when I needed you again, and you were like, no, I'm not gonna. It's like, okay. But in general, I was like, you know, what you have is valuable.
Yeah, you helped me with that for sure.
I'm just glad you did it because it's just, you know, it's a value. You've spent years in that field, you know, and that's why, you know, I talk about, you know, talk about mid bloom or when you're a certain age, it's like all of that comes with some great credentials and should continue to be valued, you know, as they're useful.
Well, and you know what, that really helped give me some ongoing purpose that, oh, maybe I can still use some of my skills.
Absolutely.
And put it out there. And so, yeah, that's been helpful. Well, in regards to mid bloom, like we've talked about, one of the things I've been doing is looking back, and especially as you and I have been talking, on these defining moments that have led me up to where I am now and the things that I did throughout my career, because I had a pretty varied career.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's really a fun thing to do. When we get to this age, it's always, you and I have talked about this, it's hard to find purpose.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, I don't know, but one of the things that has helped me is just looking back on these defining moments and why were they defining moments?
Right.
And how do I continue to have those defining moments? Mm-hmm. And part of it is just being aware and recognizing those moments that come along and then jumping on it, so to speak.
Well, and like we both are, we're curious people, and I don't think about limitations about what's possible and what's not. And because you already really understood your passion, I think that's huge.
It is huge. And I feel lucky that I was able to do that.
Well, but again, you have to be open to hearing, you know, what is the universe, you know, offering. And I know we have talked about people that are really kind of lost because they don't know if they, you know, most of us work for 30, 40 something years. That's something that's really not your passion, or maybe it is and it changed. And then it's okay, now what do I do? And no, you know, nobody else can answer that, but I'm hoping, you know, partly through the podcast, when you get an idea of that, truly anything is possible. You know, you just think about it, keep an open mind and, you know, use this as a community to hear what other people are saying. And I always say, if there's something that people want to hear about, if there's some topic that you think is important, you know, please let me know. I'm open to all of that.
I'm so curious to hear from people if, when they do, whether it's, because not everybody in mid bloom is retired.
Right, exactly.
But if you are retired, do people actually think, okay, now what? And if they are thinking that, is mm-hmm. it scary? Mm-hmm. Is it exciting?
Yeah.
Do you talk to other people and say, are you feeling like now what? And if so, what do you do with that?
The point of view, how are you looking at that? Are you looking at it as some frightening thing or an opportunity to dig into something that, you know, you've always loved? I thought what was funny, I'm trying to remember, how did we get on the Rod Serling topic?
Rod Serling?
Yeah, we were talking about...
Oh, we were talking about that because we were both watching it on New Year's Day.
Right.
The marathon.
Right. And I had, in the midst of all that, I've joined his foundation. I mean, I did that like a year or so ago.
Awesome.
I'm a serious nerd.
And a zone nerd.
Exactly. Zone nerd. And he done such tremendous work, but a lot of it was, I think he was just ahead of his time because he would hit on serious social issues.
Oh, definitely.
And I had on Facebook, I had sent like an open letter to one of his daughters because she's running the foundation. And
right.
I'm like, I really love your dad so much. He touched my life, you know, and I learned so much about the world. You know, I would love to have you as a podcast guest. You know, I don't know if she's ever read it or, you know, but I'm like one of those like diamond members.
Okay.
I said that out loud.
I love it. Didn't know there was such a thing. Yes, I'll have to look into
it. Yes, there is. But I feel now, and you know, like I said, I've gone through, you know, a few rough years, and as I'm feeling more myself, you know, I start remembering the things I truly love, and that is one of them. So when that came up, that just reminded me, you know, the pleasure I continue to get from his work on Twilight Zone, and he's done, you know, so many other things. I just think he's a special guy.
Well, how open are you to put it out there on Facebook that to write to his daughter, what's her name? Anne
Serling. Yeah.
And to just throw it out there. Why not? Hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast.
I have nothing. I have nothing to lose.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'm not losing my dignity. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, enthusiastic. So
I'm curious. Well, you're asking the question, but
I'm curious.
So that's a small example of something that maybe you wouldn't have done
right
in years past.
Right.
So what are some other things that you feel like you're now do that maybe you wouldn't have done before?
Well, something I've always been interested in is writing science fiction.
Ah.
And, you know, I would talk about it. I would think about it. And, you know, where I am now, I want to start actively doing that. So I'm on LinkedIn. And I don't know, I was looking up sci-fi, there are sci-fi groups out there, which I was like, oh. So I joined one. And then I put that same thing on, you know, the same letter on LinkedIn. And then there were a couple of people from like that group that responded. One guy who was, I think his name was, I mean, I'm not going to say his real name. It was like John CPO Smith, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, and I thought, how many followers is he? Three people. It's like, oh, he's got over 1,000. Okay. Legitimate. He's a legitimate nerd.
Yeah. You know?
So that's something else that I'm really interested in doing. And you know, I'm working on this memoir, which is tough because when you're, you know, looking back at stuff, it's hard, but I think it's a necessary thing. But if I think of something else that I've really been interested in but didn't really pursue, which I'm interested in now again, is voiceover work. I had actually just sent an email to my coach, and I'm setting up a new website that, you know, that's something else I want to pursue.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, why not?
Why not?
You know?
Well, this is a perfect gateway. having a podcast.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. That's why I enjoy doing those little Christmas bits, you know, that kind of thing that just kind of spoke to that.
Yeah, those were fun.
So Ms. V, you're asking me about, you know, what I want or what's, you know, kind of got me captivated. What about you?
Well, I am one of those people that when I did hit retirement, I mean, the first thing was sleeping in the morning. Oh, God, it's beautiful.
Yes.
I don't know that it is for everybody, but that to me is the most beautiful. But I did have a now what kind of thought, and it didn't scare me or anything because I'm a list maker. So I did go through the now what, and the first thing that came up was you and I both love to read.
Yeah.
And that's another way that we got to know each other, because we were in book club together.
Right, right.
But so I've had an idea for a book. I mean, it's been evolving for about 15 years. I knew I wanted to write a book, but I knew also that the topic would present itself, and it did about 15 years ago. And so then I sat on that topic, and then it's come more to fruition, particularly over the last 3 years. So then when I retired, I thought, okay, now's the time. So I actually got a life coach, very good friend of mine. Her name's Carol Hutchins, and she's a social worker as well, but retired, and now she's doing life coaching. So she and I were meeting, and she was like, well, how about I life coach you on getting started on that book? So we've been doing that, and that's how I got started. So now I am well into writing this book.
Wow.
And oh, talk about giving me joy.
Wow.
It's exciting.
Yes.
And then from that, all of a sudden, I had an idea for a children's book. So I'm actually writing two books.
Oh my gosh.
I'm further along on the children's book because they're not as long. And so anyway, the whole point of this is it gives me purpose.
Well, here's the thing is, you know, what scares me more than anything is if I don't step into the void or the fear. And look back and say, gee, I wish I don't want that to happen.
Right.
You know, and I've never thought about it that way until I was in a position where, okay, so now what am I going to do? Or how am I, you know, it's like, I can't do that anymore. And then, getting past the fear, but I think, you know, I feel proud of myself, and you should too, for yourself, because the vast majority of us don't do it, you know, we talk about it or, you know, but absolutely, you know, just whether, you know, someone considers it a failure or not, you're doing it, you've done it.
Right.
You can say, hey, I tried that, that didn't work. And maybe something else comes up.
Well, I think the biggest thing that worries me for anybody is not being able to identify the things that bring you joy.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Yeah.
That could be a whole nother topic.
That's scary to me.
Yeah.
Thinking that I haven't got a clue of, you know, what I love. And I, you know, I can say through the years that I probably knew those things, but they were like under the surface, or, oh, I could never make money.
Because day-to-day life gets in the way.
Yeah. Day-to-day gets in the way. But also, you know, there is that fear of, you know, what if I try it and then I'm not successful? It's like, that thing that I always wanted to do, you know, I can't do. But, you know, I don't know what it was with the podcast that it kind of like hit all like the cylinders. I loved storytelling. Uh-huh. You know, I love my sense of humor. Maybe everybody else doesn't. I'm curious about people and their stories and their life. Yeah. And I love all pieces of it. Even the technical stuff. I can't, you know, it's like, I can't tell you how many mistakes I've made with the equipment, but you know, you work through it, but I love all aspects of it, the editing, you know, everything, you know? So all I can say is it's, you know, this is the beginning of something. And I have other ideas about podcasts too.
Uh-huh.
You know, a fictional series,
oh,
you
sure.
know,
yeah.
like about the financial industry, you know.
So I guess the important part is you have so many interests.
I do. I'm grateful.
So I'm
grateful,
hoping
grateful, grateful.
That people listening to this think about what their interests are.
You are right on point there. That, oh, well, and you know, I'm 64. So here I am at 64 and I'm learning so many new things. You know, all the dealing with the equipment on the pot, everything, you know, my coach, you know, I have her laughing because sometimes I'm like, okay, now where do you want me to, what am I supposed to, what am I doing? You know, and her husband hears me in the background. He's like, is she asking you for her password? I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, you laugh at it and you just keep rolling.
Yeah. Well,
you know? You just keep rolling.
I mean, but that's a skill that you've acquired to be able to laugh at it and keep rolling.
Thank God for a sense of humor. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Right.
Yes. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Any last minute thoughts? Or because I know I will have you as a guest, you know, as we continue.
Uh-huh.
And I may have you on, you know, with other people with specific topics. But one, I thank you for your time. I thank you for sharing and
thank
being open.
Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank you again, you know, for all the help you've given me and my family.
Well, thanks, April. Evidently, I like to talk. So
yeah, you do.
I appreciate this.
And you like to ask. You're taking over my family. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, April.
Thank you for joining me today on Living in Midbloom. I hope you found this episode insightful, meaningful, and maybe it's given you something to think about. I invite you to share your positive reviews or ideas on topics you would like me to touch on by leaving your comments on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Podchaser, or Podcast Addict. We are all divine beings who just want to be seen, heard, and loved. Have a beautiful day.